And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Ohio lawmakers drafting new legislation that would provide greater access for mothers to doulas during the birthing process. The bill would establish a doula advisory board and a certification process for doulas in Ohio that includes training on racial bias and health disparities. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the bill and the role doulas play in the birthing process are one of the bill's authors, Franklin County Commissioner and former state representative, Erica Crawley. Commissioner Crawley, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Michael, so much for having me.
We also have therapist, certified lactation consultant, and doula, Brandy Rahim. Brandy, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
And Cradle Cincinnati Partnership and Policy Manager, Mike Morosky. Mike, thanks for being with us as well.
Thank you for having me, Michael. Appreciate the opportunity.
Questions? Join our conversation, 513-419-7100. Before we dive into this legislation and why you all may think it's important, I would just like a brief overview of doulas and Brandy, since you serve as one. Would you mind just telling our listeners who may be unfamiliar with the term what a doula is?
Sure. So a doula is just a non-medical support person for people that are pregnant, trying to get pregnant, giving birth, and we even do some postpartum work, so even after birth. But we just provide information and social emotional support so that people have autonomy over their experience and so that they know all the options and opportunities available to them so that they can make informed decisions about their health.
Would you, I guess, describe for us what it's like being perhaps at the bedside of someone who is about to give birth and what type of role you play in that situation?
Yeah, absolutely. So bedside, and I mean, some people have babies at home, and so we may be tub side or you know, pool side if they have a birthing pool. But it's all about just helping them through the process. We're their eyes and ears because, as we know, giving birth is a very painful experience. And so we are just helping them stay present in the moment, you know, working through, you know, each contraction, letting them know what the doctor or midwife may be talking about. They may be using some medical jargon that maybe the birthing person just is like, I don't have time to try to process that. Like, what are they saying in a nutshell? Like, what does this mean? And so we do a lot of interpreting, a lot of you can do this motivation, a lot of, you know, do I need to kick people out the room? Are you comfortable? You know, bringing water and ice, keeping siblings, you know, busy, or maybe partner who's maybe losing it or is uncomfortable seeing their partner being comfortable. So we're just there for the family. We're there for the birthing person, and we're there for the family just to keep things as calm as can be and to just be informative. Let everybody know what is going on in the room. What is the process that's taking place right now?
And so, Brandy, perhaps the more common experience for people who are giving birth is in a hospital, and they're surrounded by medical staff. And those of us who have never experienced this personally, we've certainly seen it dramatized on television or in films. And so that's just what it looks like. It's a big medical scene. What do you view as the advantage of having someone like you, who you note is not a medical professional, right? What's the benefit of having someone like you there in addition to the medical support staff?
I think that in the medical field, everything is a business. And it is a very rushed experience. And I can say that from having my own children and from being a doula, that everything is very calculated. We need this to happen at this time. And this is why, you know, there's people going in and out the room. There are machines beeping. There is the IV. You know, there's the monitor that the baby's heart rate is on. There's the contraction monitor. There is a lot going on in that setting. And so the advantage of having a doula is just knowing that there is somebody that is there just for me, not for this baby, not for, you know, working for the doctor. This is a non-medical person. This is my person. So if I'm losing it, if I'm crying, this is somebody that is there just for me. And so I think it brings a sense of calm because I know that whatever goes on, this person is here for me. This person has my back. This person is going to listen to me. They're going to explain things to me. They have the time. Whereas the nurses and doctors, they have other patients on the floor. They're in and out.
We might have dropped Brandy there for a moment, and we will try to reconnect. But if we still have Erica Crawley, Franklin County Commissioner and former state representative with us, I'll bring you in. Commissioner Crawley, are you still with us?
I am.
Okay. Well, we will reconnect with Brandy and continue that. Oh, there she is. Brandy, we apologize. We broke up a little bit there, and it happens. We know we're using a Zoom connection. Everyone by now is too familiar with those types of interruptions. We're going to come back to you momentarily after we make sure that everything's cool. But okay. Commissioner Crawley, this obviously got your attention enough to where you wanted to help craft some legislation in Columbus to provide greater access for mothers to bring doulas into the birthing process. What was it about it that caught your attention to where you wanted to take this action?
Well, two things. I think, one, my own experience giving birth to twin girls. I had a traumatic pregnancy. I speak about it a lot since I was in the legislature, experienced complications after, and didn't have a doula and didn't have a patient advocate and wish that I had. And so over the years, my daughters just turned twins, girls, they just turned 17. And I continue to hear the same stories that I experienced, experiencing complications. Some people who were like, I had a doula, and if it wasn't for my doula, I don't know that I would be here. And then coming into the legislature, one of my first meetings was with Mike from Cradle Cincinnati and Dr. Shockley Smith from Queens Village. And then my next meeting was with Root, Jessica Roach, and Dorian Wingard from Restoring Our Own Through Transformation. And both organizations were like, I think we need to have legislation in the state that provides access to doulas. We know that, especially with Black women in states that either have a pilot program or have passed legislation, that doulas make a difference in saving lives. And there's been studies done where Ohio has been a part of those studies that said, you know, if Medicaid provided reimbursement for doulas, it would be cost savings to the state, but would reduce maternal mortality and infant mortality. And so that's why I want to champion this legislation and have done so since the beginning of 2019.
We're going to explore that aspect of this momentarily. You worked with Representative Tom Brinkman, a Republican from here in the Cincinnati area. He's from Mount Lookout. And tell us a little bit about how you work together on this. And when we just generally say that this would provide greater access for mothers to doulas, could you help us understand a little better what that means?
Absolutely. So the first joint sponsor that I had was Representative Paula Hicks Hudson in the 133rd General Assembly. Representative Brinkman was the chair of the Insurance Committee, where the legislation was at last General Assembly, and that was House Bill 611. Towards the end of that General Assembly, Rep. Brinkman came to me and said, I am super supportive of this legislation. Had it not been for COVID, would have pushed it out of the committee. I would like to be a joint sponsor next year and, you know, willing to move legislation off of my plate to make this a priority. And can I partner with you? Because of his own family experience having a doula, I believe his daughter-in-law had a doula and his son, and their experience was phenomenal. And so he just raved about it and wanted to be a part of this legislation. And so we decided that we would partner together this General Assembly in the 134th to move it. And so he's been a wonderful partner in this aspect, bringing his wealth of knowledge from insurance perspective, but then also talking with his own family members about having access to doulas. And they were able to pay for it out of their own pocket. And so when we talk about having access or providing more access to doulas, we know, again, that when birthing people have access to doulas, it has a reduced, they have a reduced need for pain medication. They are less likely to have a C-section. They are less likely to experience a number of days in the hospital. And doulas, as a patient advocate, are able to help, you know, people decide how they want to have their birthing experience and or as a patient advocate. But we know that it can be costly. And so that means that there are those who can afford it and those who can't. But in the state where we have one of the most atrocious infant mortality rates among Black babies, we know that Medicaid pays for more than 51% of the births. And if we're going to have Medicaid pay for births, then we should also be able to have Medicaid pay for access to doulas that will have a direct link to decreasing our infant mortality rate and our maternal mortality rate in this state. And I'll just also say, when we talk about access, when we look at the data, and we know that between 2012 and 2016, we had 186 pregnancy-related deaths in the state. 57% of those were deemed to be preventable. And if we had, if some of those birthing people were able to have access to a doula, maybe we would have seen a decreased percentage in preventable deaths. We know when it came to Black women, 17% of Black women were part of the birthing population, but they made up 34% of the deaths. And so we know that Black women are dying 2.5 times the rate of white women. And if they had access to doulas, data shows that it would save their lives.
Cradle Cincinnati partnership and policy manager Mike Morosky is also with us. Mike, as Commissioner Crawley just noted, there is a disparity in the impact on Black mothers in having and experiencing infant mortality. And in Hamilton County, it has long been of great concern for organizations like yours. I believe I saw in the spring that the numbers did improve at least slightly in recent times, but this is still a major issue.
Yeah, it is a major issue. And, you know, we're happy or, you know, proud to say that the infant mortality rate and the racial disparity is the lowest it has ever been in the county's recorded history as of today. And our work, though, as Brandy and Commissioner Crawley will note, you know, there's no patting on the back in our work until, you know, babies aren't dying, moms aren't dying. And, you know, the racist systems that plague the healthcare system, that same ones that plague every system, are done away with. And so there's a lot of work to do as well. But we've made some market improvement here. And part of that is with the proliferation of doulas. Cradle Cincinnati has a more programmatic wing called Cradle Cincinnati Connections, where we have located very mindfully and intentionally in the 3 zip codes with the highest infant mortality rates with community health workers. Some doulas, we're happy to say that our community health workers can be trained to be doulas if they so choose, and social workers and dietitians. And, you know, through those efforts, the drop in the county's rate can be pinpointed into those 3 specific zip codes. So we know that the doula works. And, you know, if I may, I give a lot of credit, if not all of the credit, to people like Brandy, with whom I've been fortunate to work, and the women on our team who have taught me about doulas so that I could visit, you know, then Representative Erica Crawley with my colleague, Dr. Meredith Shockley Smith, to talk about this issue. My world on this team lives in the social determinants, Michael. So I do transportation, education, workforce, and housing policies. And, you know, a lot of what we look at is how to reduce toxic stress, which for listeners' edification is a stress that doesn't go away. So you know what it feels like to be stressed out for a big test or a big meeting. Imagine that feeling never goes away. That's what we're talking about. And we know extreme preterm birth is the number one driver of infant death. Toxic stress drives extreme preterm birth. And we know the doula, and I just want to kind of pick up where Brandy was, and then I'll stop. And Brandy had alluded to the fact that, you know, it is a business, and it's a machine, you know, on the delivery room. And, you know, not saying that's good or bad. It's just that's what it is. And these people have a job to do. And having somebody there, you noted, Michael, it's not maybe a medical professional, but somebody who's trained in the birthing process and the relational process. That's the key. And especially for Black women.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, Mike, was like, how are you measuring the impact at Cradle Cincinnati of actually trying to improve access to doulas and similar occupations to people who are set to give birth?
Well, you know, we can look at, so again, it's an issue of having control groups, people who don't have doulas, don't have a community health worker or a community navigator, and those who do. And then, you know, the national research that Erica had alluded to that shows the effectiveness of this relationship, that's, again, building trust. And so you have Black women who have been treated differently than white women in the medical space, and having somebody there that they can trust helps that birth process go a lot more smoothly.
Let's go back to Brandy Rahim. She is a doula, also a therapist and certified lactation consultant. Brandy, can you talk a little bit about the racial disparity in the birthing process as you've experienced it as a doula? Do you find that the experience is different when you're aiding Black mothers-to-be?
Yeah, I only have served Black women, but a lot of them, this was not their first child. I have friends who have had babies. I've had babies, and there, you know, there's definitely a difference. I think that there is the perceived notion that Black women don't perceive pain as much as white women or other women. You know, there's this perception that we're strong, or that, you know, we're being dramatic when we say that we're in pain, or there have been times that we said like something doesn't feel right or something isn't right, and being blown off or being told like, oh, you're fine, that's normal. Things not being thoroughly explained to us. And so, again, us going into spaces not being well informed. And so then we're forced to listen to or adhere to the direction of the nurse or the doctor because we don't know anything else. And so looking at them as the expert just because we don't know enough is definitely a big issue, and something that I have seen. I have seen people be, you know, overlooked or not taken seriously, or like, oh, you know, that's fine, you're fine, you know, as if that person is being dramatic or exaggerating. So yeah, there is definitely some inequities when it comes to Black women in the healthcare system. And this has nothing to do with, you know, education or marital status or socioeconomic status. This is a direct link to just her being Black.
Commissioner Erica Crawley of Franklin County is also with us, a former state representative who co-authored this legislation in Columbus. Commissioner, you probably know all too well that things can be challenging in Columbus these days, but can you give us a forecast on this legislation, its chances, its timeline?
Absolutely. And I just have to say that I love working with Mike. At this point in time, I consider him to be my friend. He is... has, you know, had a voice at the state level ever since we had our meeting in trying to champion this legislation. So even though I am not in the state house, I know his voice will still be there and mine. It has had two hearings, sponsored testimony, where myself and Brinkman provided information and data. It had proponent testimony, Cradle sent written testimony before I left the legislature 22 days ago. I had a conversation with Representative Susan Manchester, which is the chair of the Aging and Family Committee. And she said that she was interested in pushing this legislation. I don't think that it, you know, will be held up. Unfortunately, it is now a hot topic. And I hate to say that, this has been an issue well before I came into the legislature. I'm glad that people are talking about doulas, and we are having a frank conversation about how women, especially Black and Brown women, go to a healthcare system that doesn't treat everyone fairly and equitably, that voices are dismissed, like mine when I was having complications. And so there is this concerted effort to really address this in a meaningful way. But it will take, you know, everyone to continue to be all hands on deck. Even though I am gone from the legislature, I know that my stakeholders, my interested party members, and people who care about this will continue to push this forward. It did pass the Senate last year. In last General Assembly, I worked with Senator Tina Maharath and Senator Coonsy to do a companion legislation in the Senate because the House had some other issues going on and wasn't moving that legislation. I think the same thing could happen now, but I think that this will pass this General Assembly.
And Mike Morosky, I imagine Cradle Cincinnati is paying close attention to this as well.
We're paying very close attention, and we're really happy to have Representative Tom Brinkman down here in Mount Lookout to have signed on to support this. And I was talking to him not too long ago, you know, and he reiterated, you know, while I believe the representative cares about the issues we've outlined here today, I asked him if he wanted me to pass along anything today. And he said, just reinforce the massive cost savings. And I know, you know, that's important to him, again, among all the things we've talked about. So, yeah, we're paying real close attention. And Rep Crawley, former Rep Crawley, thanks so much for getting it here. And Brandy, thanks for the education. And Rep Brinkman knows whatever he needs from Cradle Cincinnati, we've got his back because we need to get this done for moms and kids.
And now it's my turn to thank everyone. Commissioner Erica Crawley, Brandy Rahim, and Mike Morosky, thanks so much for the time you all gave us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.